Good morning, everybody. Good, we've got the microphones about right. We haven't deafened anybody, which is really good. Welcome, everybody here. It's lovely to see you. We've got some people we've not seen for a while, which is great. Ollie, it's a joy to see you. Ollie's here. Round of applause for Ollie. He's been far off Loughborough and, you know, a long way away. And lovely to see you, Ollie. Great. And welcome to those who are either listening to this later in the week or watching it now on live stream. Today, your cameraman is Rod. So once again, any problems, it's Rod's fault. Nobody here. We know nothing. Rod's in charge. And but no, thank you to all those who've made it possible for those who are not able to be with us in person here, physically in the building, are still very much with us as they listen and pray and worship with us. So it's great to be together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be still and know that you are God. Thank you for the freedom that you've given us to be here, to set aside this time to watch or listen to the service. Lord, set us free from distractions, external or internal, that would stop us hearing your voice, responding to your love. Thank you, Lord, that you bring us together as a body to encourage one another. Meet us, we pray, by your Spirit. Amen. In our prayer time before the service, we were reflecting on the fact that it's quite difficult to be still. But actually, we can help each other. And when we say, right, this time is set apart to meet with God and to be still, we can help each other. And so that's what this is about. Partly there are things that will be said and sung, but it's also, we've left other things behind for a moment to be still. Our thoughts today are going to focus very much on worship. Who do we worship? What do we worship? These are words from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We come to worship him, and primarily our worship is for him. We get the blessings of joy and encouragement by doing it, but it's for him. And our first song leading us into a time of worship has these words, we are here for you. And our focus is on Jesus. And whether we're bowing, which is very appropriate, or whether it's kneeling, which is very appropriate, but a whole lot of people can't. David's already been really good, David Burrows. He's already been on his knees as we moved the cross this morning. So he started off kneeling at the foot of the cross, literally. So you started off really well. And David's preaching today, so we're in good hands. But whether it's bowing or kneeling or being still, singing loudly or reflectively, let's enter it in this time for Jesus. Focused on him. Mm-hmm. And that song was an individual response. This song is calling for the whole of creation to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. All nations, all peoples. We could call others to declare that Jesus is Lord. Let's sing together, Jesus is Lord. What we are called to do, to declare that Jesus is Lord. Sometimes we can't do much else, but we can do this. We can declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Well, I listened on the radio this morning to someone proclaiming the wonders of their church. And they talked about the building and all the wonderful things that were in it and all the visitors they had. But Lord, I never heard your name mentioned, nor the name of the Lord Jesus. We are here. We welcome you into your own house.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We're thinking today about something being lifted up. And we know the truth that if Jesus be lifted up, he will draw all men to him. And so as we look at the cross, as we look at the words on the front wall, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We lift you up, Jesus. You are the only Savior, the only God. There is nobody like you. There is nobody. There could never be anyone like you. And our focus is on you. And we lift you up in our hearts, in our spirits, with our voices, with our minds. Amen. Amen. Great. More children. Yay. Excellent. Lovely to see you. Thanks for finding your way in. Do come on. Plenty of room. Plenty of room. Welcome. Welcome. It's time now to take up our offering. As we always say, visitors, we're just pleased to have you here. We're not after your money. If you want to give to the Lord's work, existing members and welcome and newcomers, feel free. And as those who are giving money through the bank, as the bags go past, grab hold of it so you have that sense of, yes, you're making your offering. This is an opportunity to worship Jesus with our money. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, your generosity to us. And now we ask that with these gifts and all the others that have been given, that your kingdom will be extended, that more people will come to know your love, that Jesus, your name will be lifted up. Amen. Excellent. David, if you want to come up. David is going to be telling us a story, a true story, an account in the Bible that is great. Some of you may have never heard this story before. So it's a treat. It's brilliant. You're going to get to hear this story for the first time. So this is a really good day. But just before David tells us this story, I want to ask a question. And I'm going to start with the children because I want to know what you think. And this is just to help David as he's going to bring something to us. So you don't have to answer this question, but I want to know what an idol is. What do you think an idol is? I've already seen one person go, "That's a good answer." Paige says, "I haven't got a clue." So who thinks they might know what an idol is? Do you know, Zeb, do you know what an idol is? I'm just going to, you can say no. What do you think?
I think an idol is like where you worship someone instead of God.
Wow. Bang on. Yeah, exactly. Anybody else, any other of the children want to add to that? Anybody else want to add to that? Do you want to say anything, Paige? You don't have to. Yes, what do you think?
I think it's a wasp.
A what?
A wasp.
A wasp. A wasp. Oh, a watch. I see. That's interesting. I don't know if that's going to be in David's list of what comes as idols, but we'll come to that. Connie, have you thought about what an idol is? No, that's fine. Zeb's given us a really good answer. Something you look up to, you worship. other than God. I'm not going to say any more, because otherwise that will cut across what David's doing. But I just wanted to find out where we're starting from. And David, I'll pray for you, and over to you. Father, we thank you for David. We thank you for what you've shown him in your word. We thank you for your word that we're going to hear now to speak to us about worship and what isn't worship and about you. I pray you bless him with your spirit that we may hear your voice speaking to us. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all. The date of this true story is 605 BC, a long time ago. The majority of the people of Israel had been captured by the Babylonians and taken to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, roughly 50 miles south of Baghdad. The Bible tells us this capture and exile was because the Jews had rejected the Lord and turned to idols. No, the king was King Nebuchadnezzar, and he promoted three Israeli young men to be provincial officials. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this story is taken straight from the Bible. We've got some church Bibles in front of you. You can follow the story on page 886 to 888. 886 to 888. And if, like me, you don't know what a satrap is, who turns up in the first sentence, it's a technical word for a Persian local administrator. Here we go then. So starting at verse 1 in Daniel chapter 3. And there'll be some pictures as we go along. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar had made an image of gold 90 feet, that's 27 meters, high, and 9 feet, that's 3 meters, across. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of God that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." Now, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music. If you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? He replied, well, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and the houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This next slide reminds us of, and I just give thanks to the people that produce these slides and these pictures copyright free for Christians to use. And I'd like to honour those who produced these excellent pictures. Back to the story. Wow, what courage. This historical story shows God's power to deliver his people who refuse to bow down to idols. I'd like to make 3 points. Point one, idolatry is always wrong. Secondly, the pressure of others can be to make us worship other gods. And thirdly, we must resist this pressure, whatever the cost. And if we do so, the Lord will be with us in our suffering. So, firstly, idolatry idolatry is always wrong. We've already heard what idolatry is. Idolatry is worshipping anything other than God. God has given us 10 commandments. Those 10 commandments are not to bind us, they're to free us, they're to keep us safe. And the first two of the 10 commandments are very clear. God said, "You shall have no other gods before me," or "You shall have no other gods beside me." And secondly, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." As I said earlier, it was idolatry which led to the people of Israel being taken from the promised land. Idolatry is dangerous for us. Paul warns us, talking about the experience of the people of Israel, "Do not be idolaters, as some of you were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry." Now let's consider what idolatry is. It obviously includes worshipping of or honouring all man-made images, like Buddhas and similar images. You think, "Oh, that's nothing to do with us." I was horrified the other day. I was walking, as I walk a lot, outside one of my neighbor's doors. Lo and behold, there was a Buddha. I thought, what? Horoscopes are banned for Christians. But the Bible understands that idolatry extends beyond the worship of images and false gods. It's also a matter of the heart. Pride, self-centeredness, greed, gluttony, love for possessions. Tim Keller, who's an American preacher, said this: "An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. And anything that you seek to give you that only God can give." In my life, on a few occasions, I remember God challenging me to give up certain things which could have become idols. So how do we treat idols and evil in our lives? Paul has some helpful words in Colossians chapter 3. I'll read them to you. Verse 5. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." You and I, my friends, need to regularly seek God's help to turn from all that displeases God and put it decisively to death. And instead, put on the mind of Christ. An old hymn puts it well: "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from the throne and worship only thee." It is good to search ourselves to see whether there is anything that could be an idol for us, and with God's help, and that's important, with God's help, turn from it. But help is promised. The Bible promises in 1 Corinthians 10:12. "So if you are thinking, if you are standing firm, be careful you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." It's a good memory verse, by the way, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Let's all of us, young or older, decisively turn from all wrong and all idols. Secondly, the pressure of others can be to make us worship other gods, but we must resist this. Have you ever felt pressured to do something wrong? And that's out loud, but have you ever felt pressured to do something wrong? In our true story, it was King Nebuchadnezzar who ordered the people to worship his golden idol. In some parts of our world, Christians are pressured to worship other gods. And now, even in the UK, there are pressures from some groups to move from our Bible-based standards. The pressure from others to conform can be great. However, Paul commands us in Romans 12:2, which was preached on when I was baptized, by the way, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's God's will. Good, pleasing, and perfect. Only as we allow God to transform our minds by regularly reading the Bible, pondering it, obeying it, memorizing it, can we resist this pressure. Let's be diligent in praying for each other so that we can please God in all we do and know his will in our daily lives. His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And thirdly, and finally, if we do turn from idolatry, God will be with us in our suffering and is able to protect us and bring glory to himself. I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's response to the king. I've actually written out some copies for the children, anybody else who'd like it. Another good verse to remember. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow. Let us simply trust in God's power to deliver us. Let us have a determination not to bow down to any idol. Let us be willing to obey God, even if he chooses not to deliver us. May you and I copy the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as we meet life's challenges and steadfastly refuse to worship any other God other than the Lord our God. Let's not miss out on God's response to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith. Look at verse 25. Nebuchadnezzar said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. It seems that an angel, or possibly even the Lord Jesus, was in the furnace with our three heroes. God is with us in a special way when we suffer for him. Not only this, we read verse 27, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Surely this is in line with verses we read in Isaiah 43. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God will be with us when we suffer for obeying him, and he can protect us. Also, as we obey God and refuse to bow down to idols, God will bring glory to himself and blessings to his people. We read finally in 29 and 30, Nebuchadnezzar said, therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, how do you and I respond to this wonderful section of God's word? Firstly, let us steadfastly refuse to bow down to any other gods other than our sovereign Lord. Secondly, let us trust the Lord to deliver us in his time and his way when we are persecuted. Thirdly, let us pray for those who are under pressure to bow down to other gods and encourage each other in the difficult times we face. Shall we pray? Let's pray together. Holy Lord, thank you for the wonderful example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Please help us to refuse to worship any idols, trusting you to deliver us in your way and in your time. And to you shall be the glory. Amen.
All sorts of pressure to worship other gods, and particularly those at school. I'm thinking of the children who are with us here. School's a particular place where everybody else says, well, everybody's doing it, so come on. And to be the one that is different is quite difficult. Zeb said then, to worship something other than God, that stand is a difficult thing to do. Some of us in our workplaces may be the only one who refuses to join in a particular way of doing things that is really making money the idol, the mercus of focus. And so it's a matter today of saying, no, we're for Jesus alone. And our song response, I've got two songs now, to what we just heard, is a declaration. It's a prayer that we can make today, and the Holy Spirit will come along and enable us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when we start school back in September, to remember this. No, I'm not worshiping anybody else, anything else. No one else gets to be the center of my life other than Jesus. I lift my hands. Feel free to sit or stand.
Spirit with a measure.
this is for us as individuals, for us as a church. But we are also to call the nations to worship Jesus. King of the ages, almighty God, perfect love, ever just and true, who will not fear you and bring you praise? All the nations will come to you. There will be one day when all nations will come and bow the knee. They'll have no choice as they see you appearing. But right now, people have a choice. Nations have a choice. Let's worship the Lord. Now, as usual, I've got some work for you to do. I know you're really pleased about this. I know I'm confident that you're going to be very pleased about this. Has anybody been watching the Olympic Games? A little bit. Some people are really keen. Anybody really keen? Yes, Beth. Pam, what have you been watching, Pam? Everything. Oh, that's good. One each. One each for you all. One each for you all. What's happening tonight? The closing ceremony. And it struck me as we've just been going through these different songs that the... one between, if I may. Can I give you a couple there? I'm running out of these, which is really good. I'm just going to go back here. Thank you. Pass them back behind, if you will. Who else have we got? We've got, here you go. There you go. I think we might be all right. Might be able to come back for... Just didn't want to run out. There you go. So there's three for you and another two. If you can pass those on to you over there. That's great. And there's five there, I think. Right, get out. Oops, sorry, the extra one there. Right. There you go. There you go. Charlie, I've got another one that you can have. Yeah. Right. Okay, get it? Two made it. You got those? Good, excellent. Right. Right. So, yeah, so we're quite mad on the Olympics and everything else, and Leslie loves the opening ceremony where you see all the different nations coming in behind the fence. Yeah, the ceremony was awful, but the good thing is seeing all the athletes coming in from the different nations. These cards that I've just given you, every one of the competing nations is listed on the cards that I've just given you. And also, up there you'll find, can you read out the countries that are on your bit of card? Shout it out.
Russia.
And? Belarus. But Russia and Belarus. You won't see them listed on the list of nations, the medals, and anything else, because they're not allowed to compete under their nations. They have to be independent, neutral athletes because of what they're doing in Ukraine. So they're not allowed to be there as nations. But the reason I put them on here and with all these other cards is we've just said about all nations coming to Jesus. As you look at the closing ceremony tonight, I'd encourage you to do so with your card and see if you can spot the athletes or the officials from the nations you've got written on your card. As you look at them, these people are in very different situations. The American, like we've heard last week, the American high jumper, who saw the high jump? Anybody see the bit of paper that the American jumper held up at the end? In Jesus' name. In America, lots of Christians have a great deal of freedom to declare their faith. And he obviously felt in Paris he was safe to put up a bit of paper with in Jesus' name, like the South African runner had done the previous week. But many of the people represented on the cards you've got in front of you are living in countries where it is illegal to worship Jesus. It's illegal to disturb the faith of a Muslim or a Hindu. It's illegal, unlawful, to have a Bible. And it's not just breaking a rule, it means being imprisoned or killed. Many of the athletes and the officials that you'll see walking around tonight are in countries where if they declared they were a Christian, they would be isolated by their families and friends, and many forced to leave their countries. So I thought today, as I always get you to do a bit of work on a Sunday morning, that it would just be good for us to pray for the people of the nations. That they, as David has led us to this morning, they won't worship idols. Despite the pressure they're put under, believers will keep on to Jesus, and that he will deliver them. And as David says, even if God doesn't deliver them in this life, they will not worship false gods, and they'll be taken to heaven. So we haven't got time to list all the nations, have we? But what I'd like us to do, just in a moment of prayer, hold your hand up with your bit of card. If you want to shout out a name of a country, perhaps particularly ones on your list you've never heard of, let's have a few countries shout it out, and I'll do an introductory prayer, then let's pray for these nations. Jesus, we thank you that you are Lord of every nation. There is no nation that you are not Lord of. They may not recognize you, but you are. And Lord, we pray that people in these nations will see you, will hear your word, will respond to you, will worship you, and that you will strengthen them not to bow down to false gods. You will help them to resist the pressure that comes from their whole society, maybe their government or their athletic team leaders or whatever it might be, to compromise their faith. And that you will deliver them and enable them to witness to you. So we pray for the nations of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers, and you could hear us praying for every nation all at the same time, because you are now listening, Lord, to prayers from every country on earth at this very moment. We thank you that you're answering our prayers. Lord, help us keep looking outward. And as you've said, for those who are not in prison, who are those not suffering, remember those who are, as if you were with them. Amen. We come to our last hymn. And I said to Leslie what my last hymn choice was. And she said, oh no. Oh no. Because it's an old hymn. The words were written 300 years ago, but that wasn't the problem. The words are great. Ace. It was the tune. And she'd only ever heard it mournful. And we don't do mournful, do we? Unless we really have to be mournful. And I said, it'd be all right. And I hummed it. She said, oh, that sounds all right. So we gave it a go at home. And permission to use some welly in this song, all right? And it'll make sense why I'm reading this bit of scripture before we stand and sing this hymn. We read earlier from Psalm 95. Next psalm, Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He's to be feared above all gods. For the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. It's always been God's heart that every nation, not just Israel, but every nation, worships him. And that's what our prayers have just been doing, and our final song declares it too. Send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to worship and witness to Jesus, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Amen.